Thanks, Andrea. Coming up, Amar Anya is going to take us to East Garfield Park. We're going to Inspiration Kitchens over on 3504 West Lake Street, right by the Garfield Park Conservatory. So we'll have that conversation coming up at 9:30. It's Record Store Day coming up this weekend. This is an annual tradition to celebrate vinyl and independent record stores. In Chicago, there's a long history of great record stores. Oh, my. The list brings a smile to my face. Rose Records, Reckless, Dusty Groove, Pinwheel, Bric-a-Brac, Laurie's Planet of Sound. The list of past and present stores is so impressive. But we may have left out the best of all, Wax Trax. Wax Trax holds a special place in Chicago hearts. Everybody has a story. Jim Nash and Danny Fletcher came to Chicago in 1978. Wax Trax's store was on Lincoln Avenue. Wax Trax, the record label, specialized in industrial music and was responsible for bands like Ministry, Front 242, KMFDM, and more. This Saturday, there's a big event at House of Vans in the West Loop, including a performance from the band Ministry, a Wax Trax era set. But the main event will be the screening of the documentary Industrial Accident, the story of Wax Trax Records. In it, Chicago mainstays like Steve Albini, Joe Shanahan, and Al Jorgensen wax poetic about the indie label and the store that put industrial music on the map. The documentary is directed by Julia Nash. Julia Nash is the daughter of Wax Trax founder Jim Nash and now owner of the label, and she's in studio with me tonight. Julie, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
It's a tremendous, I kind of said right before that people have a lot of memories about Wax Trax Records, and it's something that is really a big part of not just the Chicago neighborhood, Lincoln Park, but about music lovers in Chicago. Do you feel that? Do you feel that when wherever you go, the love for Wax Trax?
Definitely. I get emails daily. You know, we have hundreds of emails coming in, like, and people expressing their connection and that whole sort of love and that just great vibe that it gave people when they walked in the door.
For you to have lived that and maybe not be necessarily aware because you grew up in it, because you go back to 1978 and it's 1978 to the early 90s. Did you know that at the time that what was happening at the store, what was happening at the label?
No clue. It's really very similar. I mean, what your parents did you really know or care? No, probably not. I think one thing that sort of resonated with me was I grew up primarily in Kansas City, or Kansas, I should say, a small town, Topeka, Kansas. So coming to Chicago and going into the record store always gave me a feeling of like, these are my people, this is where I need to be. So that sort of like spurred me to get out of high school as quick as I could. So I graduated early and moved up here. Sad for my mom, of course, because that was a terrible, terrible departure. Yeah. Because it was just heartbreaking. I wish she could live with me now. Anyway, just coming up here and feeling that when I was in the store, I thought I felt that, and everyone out here just kind of knew it was like fun and great and whatever and just always belonged, but I felt really like this is where I need to be. And it did not hit me until I heard that from other people and fans coming up to me, which really started during the retrospectacle at the Metro in 2011.
You know, to look at the trailer for the documentary and see all the different people talking about and some of the archival footage of your dad, but also just the presence of the store and the label. There, you do get a vibe that it was a place. So take us to that place. What was the Wax Trax? What was Wax Trax Records like in say the middle of the 1980s?
Oh gosh, you know, I guess you could sum it up. It was like a nightclub during the day, maybe. You know, it was a place that, at least for me, in coming from Kansas, I had never been in a place that people were smoking pot, you know, drinking beer, doesn't, you know, whatever, listening to all great music the whole time. It was magical. It really, truly was. Just walking in, it was just like so much everywhere. It was just totally like overload, but also just a very calm place at the same time. It's very hard to explain.
Well, beyond the space, and we'll get back to the reminiscing of the space, but the industrial music, it's experimental punk at that time. The community, there were communities all over the country that were kind of playing, and around the world, really, when you think about industrial music. But it was Wax Trax Records that kind of brought that together, that all these bands from Ministry and to some of the Front 242, some of these bands that I've mentioned, they all kind of come together under this umbrella. Talk about the label and its role in creating not just a scene, but a movement.
Geez. You know, I think it definitely was not a planned circumstance. It was an accident. So, you know, it was really just my dad kind of giving that sort of like playground and creative space for people, and being able to push that to the surface to where other people could kind of recognize it, notice it, and grab onto it and create from that moment on. It's hard because I was also, like I said, you know, and like you said, I was living it as a kid and kind of growing up with it. So those things kind of didn't even sort of faze me at all. And it's weird to say that because, yeah, you're, you know, having dinner with the lead singer of the Psychedelic Furs or, you know, the Cars or whatever. And it's just none of it is kind of...
Yeah, it can't be nostalgic in the moment. You don't even know the moment, right? For you two to make this project a reality, to the documentary, and to take the step to go from not just archiving what your dad and what Danny did, and that was a big part of what you and your husband do, is to get get Wax Trax on the record, but making it
pun.
I know, right? That's a good pun. But making the documentary, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you to go from just someone who wants to make that space for your dad, and now in a place where you're actually telling the story of Wax Trax Records?
Really what it means to me, quite honestly, it was a gift to be able to give back to all of the people that were so touched by it. It was a gift for the rest of my family and Danny's family, our families, just to kind of like, you know, document all of that and what they had done and the lives they had touched and the music they put on the map and Chicago they put on the map for that matter. That kind of was the vibe.
Julia Nash is my guest. She is the daughter of Wax Trax founder Jim Nash. She's going to be showing her documentary at the House of Vans coming up on Saturday, which is Record Day, Record Store Day here in Chicago. The documentary, which will be shown, is called Industrial Accident, The Story of Wax Trax Records. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More with Julia here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Talking Wax Trax Records tonight. Record Store Day is on Saturday, and a big show at House of Vans, which is a new venue, skate park in the West Loop. I don't know much about it. I got to go over there. But the
awesome space.
Is it?
Yep.
So House of Vans will be hosting a Record Day affair, if you will. That'll be a screening, a Q&A, and a performance by Ministry of Wax Trax era set. Right.
Yep.
Because Ministry is one of those bands where there was a moment they were on the label and then they moved on. They moved on, and some of the more popular songs that you would know Ministry from was when they hit a major label or after Wax Trax.
Depends on what kind of music you like.
That's right. Julia Nash is in studio. Her documentary will be screened at this event as well. It's called Industrial Accident, The Story of Wax Trax Records. Julia is the daughter of Jim Nash, one of the co-founders of Wax Trax, who came here from Denver in 1978. And, you know, you think of the record label, and I don't know why, but I just figured it was we're celebrating 40 years of Wax Trax. But it kind of fizzled out in the early 90s and went away. You've resurrected it, but what happened at that moment where they decided to close up shop?
Oh, my God. That is a whole big story you would need a long time on air for, and you'd be bored probably. But, you know, my dad was sick and really just was kind of reevaluating things. And obviously, music business had changed. A lot of the bands had left because there weren't contracts. And he really just, you know, family was everything to him, whether it was his Wax Trax family, his family. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I had had a daughter, and he really was way into being a grandfather. So he really kind of was like, this is like, we're nearing the end of my life. So let's hang, you know.
There was something to be said about Wax Trax being a place, and it shows up in the documentary that you did, just about a place where anyone can come. And there was a lot of inclusion. This could be anyone from Dave Grohl, who's in the documentary, to Al, or to Steve Albini, or Joe Shanahan. All these people talking about almost a home away from home. Was that the intention? Was the intention to make it this place where anyone can come in there, you know, just sort of, you can get away, and Wax Trax is almost like your playhouse?
I don't think it was an intention. Again, another accident. You know, really, my dad was, it was just an inclusive, like you said, space. You know, you had attorneys next to punk rockers next to, you know what I mean? Artists next to, you know, rockabilly fans next to, I don't know, Doris Day fans. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It really was just one big family, honestly. That's really like the best word I could use to describe it.
You and your husband have both been
working your butts off.
But you're dedicated to chronicling and archiving the life of what your dad created. In doing so, you've gone differently. You went to Danny Flesher's place after he passed not too long ago to just kind of get this stuff together about the story of Wax Trax. What did you find? What did you find that surprised you from going into the archives of both your dad and Danny?
I think not just archival surprises, but just the fact that certain things were kind of like untouched in a way. So, for example, in one little shack type barn, we found, you know, their entire CD collection still in the, like, some bad Ace Hardware. Remember, they used to have furniture and stuff. So it was like very 80s CD rack, and it had all of their CDs in it with the divider cards still in it, and just kind of like basically transported from their living room and into this little barn, decrepit barn. So those kinds of things shocked me. The fact that, you know, the sign from the store that was hanging on the building was in this barn. These guys collected everything and didn't throw anything away. So I guess that is probably the most
surprising.
Yeah, it was a big deal. But then archivally, you know, like I said, they saved everything.
Right.
So we're talking check stubs for like artists that they paid, or, you know what I mean? So there's just like a lot.
In putting together the documentary and getting so many artists who were involved with Wax Trax back in the day to talk about it, was it hard to get them on the record to talk about Wax Trax, or was this something they've been waiting to talk about?
It wasn't hard, I think, because, you know, again, I say family, and that's what came up even in all of these interviews. So it was either Jim and Danny were like my parents, they were like my brothers, they were, you know. So everyone really felt related. It's weird to say, I guess, but there was definitely a closeness in all of the relationships. And a lot of these people I still talk to and have talked to throughout the years. Some I haven't in many, many years. It was great to reconnect. But yeah, everyone was on board to talk. And it's a shame that we couldn't travel like all over and nonstop, because there were people that we obviously missed because they're so far away.
One of the in reading about the story and learning more about your dad, it's just about his sexuality, which came out about him being gay. And this was not something that necessarily was up front with him. It wasn't something that he led with, if you will, at Wax Racks. Right. He wasn't
marching in the parade.
Right. But there's something to be said, and you referenced this in an interview about, you know, almost pushing back on the stereotype of what, you know, what a gay man is, especially like in the 80s, and for him to be such a influential and really active and forward-looking member of experimental punk scene, industrial music scene, where that stereotype is not necessarily there. There is something to be said that he pushed a movement forward with the way that he presented himself and who he was in an industry that didn't necessarily have a lot of gay contributions.
I mean, sure. He really did not care about any of that. He didn't. And again, back to, you know, the clientele that shopped at the store, there was no judging, I guess. You know, I mean, God, people who know his sense of humor, that they're laughing at me now. But, you know, there was no agenda. He wasn't, again, waving any flags, marching in any parades. Not that he didn't support and love and care about that community, but that wasn't what matters. Who you are, what you do, your sexuality, the color of your skin, none of that matters. What matters is music and how it moves you, and that's it.
What's next for Wax Racks? Now that you are in control of one of the best brands in Chicago history, but overall, what is the plan for the record label?
Oh my God. You know, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure yet. Really, we've been working so hard, nonstop, while having other jobs, and like really just focusing on getting this out. And it is a major feat for this core group of people that have worked together. Like literally, you can count it on one hand. I think the first thing will be to just stop, hopefully, for a little bit.
Take a breath, yeah.
Yeah. Talk to my husband, not like a business partner as much, and deadlines. I don't want to talk about those. I just want to chill.
Are we going to see this? If I can't go to the screening at House of Vans on Saturday, where can I see Industrial Accident, the story of Wax Tracks Records?
You could buy it.
Yeah.
From me tonight. I brought a bag. No, I'm kidding. it releases on the 16th. And, you know, the House of Vans show on the 13th is our very first ever commercial showing of the film.
Wow.
And we're only allowed with our licensing agreement 10 commercial screenings.
Because you've shown it in festivals and other places, but the actual commercial showings, that's a different story.
Yeah, so this is the first one ever.
Wow.
So it's a big, big deal.
Are you nervous? As a filmmaker, you've already seen audiences respond to it.
I'm nervous every single time, actually. Like, I am like, are they going to laugh at the right parts? Are they going to, like, think this is good? Do they get it? Is this all right? Are they going to be pissed because there's not enough about the certain band in it? You know, you're always nervous. You know, but it's really been amazing, the response, walking out of there, and people really enjoy it, and that means the world to me.
Julia Nash, the daughter of Jim Nash, who was one of the co-founders of Wax Tracks Records, is also the director of the new documentary Industrial Accident, the story of Wax Tracks Records. There's going to be a big show at the House of Vans in West Loop this Saturday for Record Store Day. There's going to be the screening of the film, also a Q&A, and Ministry is going to perform a set of Wax Tracks era songs. A great event. What time does it start?
I don't know, actually. No, I'm kidding. I believe doors are at 5:30. The screening is at 6. And then everything sort of like flows after that.
Tumbles after that, right?
A pop-up shop, so we'll have a lot of our like Wax Tracks merch and like kind of walking into the old store.
That's great.
It'll be a lot of fun.
That sounds wonderful. That's Saturday in honor of Record Store Day. Julia Nash, thanks so much for being my guest then, Extension 720.
You.